recognize our good intentions and begrudgingly acknowledge that we did the best we could, but they'll inevitably whine to their therapists about how our best just wasn't good enough for them. How can this happen? Shouldn't we know the tastes, preferences, needs, and desires of the people we will be next year, or at least later this afternoon? Shouldn't we understand our future selves well enough to shape their lives, to find careers and lovers whom they'll cherish, to buy slipcovers for the sofa that they'll treasure for years to come? So why do they end up with addicts and lives that are full of stuff that we considered indispensable and that they consider painful, embarrassing, or useless? Why do they criticize our choice of romantic partners, second-guess our strategies for professional advancement, and pay good money to remove the tattoos that we paid good money to get? Why do they experience regret and relief when they think about us rather than pride and appreciation? We might understand all this if we'd neglected them, ignored them, mistreated them in some fundamental way, but damn it, we gave them the best years of our lives. How can they be disappointed when we accomplish our coveted goals? And why are they so damned giddy when they end up in precisely the spot that we worked so hard to steer them clear of? Is there something wrong with them? Or is there something wrong with us? When I was 10 years old, the most magical object in my house was a book on optical illusions. Its pages introduced me to the Mueller-Lyer lines, whose arrow-tipped ends made them appear as though they were different lengths, even though a ruler showed them to be identical. The Necker cube, that appeared to have an